Good morning. Good morning. It's so wonderful to see everybody gathered together for our worship time this morning. Always exciting to be here in God's house, to be ready to see how He's going to speak to us and move through us as we sing hymns of praise, as we listen to His Word, as we continue our conversation from our Sunday school time together and the wonderful study we have been a part of in such an amazing way. I do have a few announcements. I first would like to welcome everybody to our worship service like I have and would like to greet any guests that are with us. We have guest cards that are located in the pew directly in front of you. If this is your first time visiting or if you've been here several times and have never filled one of those out, we would love to have a record of you being with us. So if you could, just place that in the offering plate when it comes around. We'll take care of the rest this time for sure. And also about offering, there was a note in the bulletin, I think it was last Sunday or Sunday before, about making sure that on the envelope, you put your name and the amount in there. It just helps with the accounting that's going forward and making sure everything checks out the way that it needs to. And if you don't have any envelopes, there are definitely boxes located in the atrium or in the church office if you need a box of envelopes as well. If you are not able to join us yesterday evening, it was a fantastic time together. The Wild Game Dinner came together in a phenomenal way. I know that took a lot of hard work by a lot of people to bring that many dishes together, the logistics of tables, the whole nine. It was amazing to see. I just got word that there were probably over 250, counting the plates that were used last night, who were in attendance. And so that was just fantastic. What an amazing way to reach out to the community and for us as a faith family to come together and spend the evening enjoying a time of fellowship. If you would notice your bulletin real quick, the order of worship. This will be my last announcement before we continue on with our worship service. You may have noticed that the order has changed slightly. Kind of a trial run to see how we can best do this. For logistic purposes, putting it in brief, we're going to start off after the call to worship with a hymn that will now be our offertory hymn. So really not much has changed in the order of how we will have our hymns and things like that, but the type of hymn. The first hymn will be the offertory hymn. And so to try and make it flow like it has been, when you see me stand up down here at the end of that last verse of that hymn, all the children, again, are welcome to come down during that time, and we'll be seated just for a moment while the offering is being collected, and then we'll begin afterwards. So we'll kind of have a trial run to make sure everybody's aware of that this week to see how that will go. Just notice in the bulletin when that time comes. Are there any other announcements that we have this morning before we begin our worship service? Well, hearing none, let's bow our heads and begin with a word of prayer. God, it is always exciting to know that You have called us together again, Lord, as a body of believers. Lord, we are here to profess that we believe in Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and how amazing it is to follow Him as His disciples. Guide us this morning as we bring our offerings, as we bring our voices, as we bring our hearts to You, God. Lead us into Your presence and fill us with Your Spirit so this week before us we will be invigorated and excited to share the gospel with everyone we come in contact with and use words once necessary. It's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen. Now let us spend a few moments preparing our hearts for our worship service.
We'll be going by the board up here on the hymns. People Need the Lord. We'll follow the song, Everybody Needs Jesus. I'd like you to get your bulletin in at page 568, and we will sing two verses of 557 and two verses of 568. 568, written by Francis Havergal, was originally called the Worker's Prayer for people working and the lay people in the church. Page 557, let's all stand. you ought to mess it up. Let's have our ushers come in this time. I promise to do better next time. Somebody's watching me anyway, aren't they? Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day and the opportunity to come to your house of worship. Be with those on the prayer list and heal those in a way only you can. We ask that you take these tithes and offering and use them in a way to further your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did so good while we were waiting and listening to the music being played. It's always great to be thinking during that time when we see the offerings. We're usually praying and seeing how God's doing such a great thing when we're at church on Sunday mornings. I always love seeing you come down and being able to talk to you a little bit. You know, last night I saw several of you as well for our wild game dinner. We saw a lot of food that was there, and it got me thinking a little bit. I wanted to ask you what your favorite food is. It may not have been something that was at church last night, but tell me, what is your favorite food? If you could choose one food, what food would it be? Yeah. What food would it be? Chicken? Yeah, I like chicken too. I love chicken. What else? Your favorite food. It could be a dessert. It could be anything. If you have a really favorite food. There was actually a food last night called mystery meat on the table, and I don't know if any of you tried that, but it might not be your favorite. It was a good one though, right? I know some of you saw that. What got me thinking a little bit, sometimes you will see when we eat in the fellowship hall a full table of desserts after we've ate our meal, right? And you may have a favorite dessert, and sometimes we may be tempted to eat a little too much dessert. Even when we're full, we just know how good it is. We might be a little tempted to have some dessert. So this morning, I wanted to teach you about temptation. And being tempted means wanting to do something that you know you shouldn't do. You know, maybe your brother or sister did something you didn't like and you want to do something bad back to them. You might be tempted to do that even though you know you shouldn't. You may have something in school due the next day, some homework, and you may be tempted to maybe watch some TV instead of doing your homework. So sometimes you may be tempted to do something that you know you're not supposed to do, maybe that mom and dad have told you not to do. Well, let me ask you, do you think that Jesus in the Bible was ever tempted? Well, he was. And we're going to actually read about that in Matthew chapter 4. And it tells us how Jesus was tempted. The Bible actually tells us that Jesus was tempted in every way possible, but he never sinned. He never fell into temptation. So listen to this. And what I want you to listen to is how Jesus reacted, how he responded to the devil, Satan. It's actually really interesting. I'm going to tell you something afterwards as well about it. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, that means he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, he became hungry. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God," that means if you are who you say you are, "command these stones and tell them to become bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into a holy city and had him stand on top of a temple and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, jump down, because the Bible says he will command his angels to take care of him. And on their hands they will bear up so that not one foot will strike against a stone." But listen to Jesus. He said, "On the other hand, it's written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go away, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came to Jesus and began to minister to him. So Jesus was tempted in a very real way. It was a really tough way to be tempted. He was tempted by the devil, and we learn in Scripture that Jesus answered by telling him Scripture and telling him that God says that we're supposed to do the right thing. So anytime we're tempted, we can remember that Jesus was tempted in a lot of different ways, and he always did the right thing because he knew what God wanted, and he loved God very much. And we're supposed to be like Jesus. And so when we're tempted, we know we can pray to Jesus to help us not do the temptation we're thinking about. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ, and the perfect example he is and the way he taught us to not let our temptation make us do bad things. God, we love you. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week. See you next week.
Page 601, "Teach Me, O Lord, I Pray." Let's all stand.
You may be seated. you would, I invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns. One name we'd like to add to the prayer list today is the name of Ariel Sibbett, who had surgery this past week. If you would add Ariel's name, we would certainly appreciate that. Would you pray with me? Oh God, our God, eternity saying that everyone needs you. We have lifted up your name today, aware that our community needs you. And we need to be a community of faith to reach out in your name. Would you strengthen us? We lift up the names that are on this list of people who have special needs and ask, O God, that you might strengthen them. And now we lift ourselves to you, O God, and ask that you might speak to us as you have already begun in our Sunday school and our worship. That when it comes to the crescendo at the end of our service today, and all that you have said in these last 2 hours will come to a decision, to a choice, to changes, to adding things, to taking things away, that we will be found faithful, that we might be better instruments of your grace and of your mercy as a community of faith to the larger community who need you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You've heard it said you can't teach an old dog new tricks, right? Well, we changed worship. We're old dogs, so we can. We just don't do them as well as maybe young dogs do. We'll keep working. There's a reason why we changed our worship to help facilitate some things that are going on. And we appreciate it. We'll keep working on it till we get it right. Hadn't the worship been good this morning? What powerful music from eternity in our choir. You're singing. You sound wonderful when you sing to the Lord. Worship. We've talked about in our children's sermon being tempted. We all are aware of that reality. You studied this morning what we spoke on last Sunday, that passage in Acts of the early church. Paul continued to shape the early church, and today our text is found in Romans, the 14th chapter. I invite you to turn there if you would. Romans chapter 14, verses 13 through 19. Learning and growing in community. I guess we're always learning, aren't we? We may not be learning the right things, but we're learning. We're always learning. Maybe today, as we read our text and as we hear the message, we might ask ourselves, God, what do I need to learn that would make me more like you? We talked, you in Sunday school and in the message last Sunday, about actions, what to do, prayer and breaking bread and going to the temple and studying the apostles' teaching. Today we're going to talk about attitude. We're going to talk about how we deal with one another. We're going to talk about how we meet one another. Paul gives us a great truth, a powerful truth in our text today. Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 13. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I know and am persuaded in the Lord that there is nothing unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you're no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for the mutual upbuilding. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word. Would you pray with me? God, would you help us learn today some life lessons that might help us share more effectively, minister more like you in our home, at work or at school, or wherever life may take us. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Our hymn of decision is page 600, More About Jesus. More About Jesus. A little girl had been trying for months to learn the art of tying her shoes. I guess now with Velcro, that may be a passing art. I don't know. But she kept trying and kept trying, and There just seemed to always be one step, you know, just one loop that she didn't quite, or one turn of the string, and when she would make that final pull, that beautiful bow would always evade her. But she kept trying. She kept trying. She was a trooper. She didn't quit. And then one day, she got every step right. She got every step right. And when she made that final pull, there was that beautiful bow. And her dad, who had been coaching her, I mean, he had been coaching her hard. Oh, he was excited. And she began to cry. She began to cry. But honey, he said, you did a wonderful job. Why are you crying? To which she replied through her tears, because now I'll have to do it all by myself for the rest of my life. Wow. Pretty insightful for a young one. I wonder today, what lessons do we need to learn as a community of faith that we need to keep doing for the rest of our life? We look at our text. I want us to see God's truths as He speaks them to us. The first truth we find in our first verse, verse 13. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. The first truth, to be a community, to change our attitude, to be learning and growing together, it's all about our decisions, about what we decide. We can decide to be God's best, or we can decide to be God's worst. We can make the decision to give it all we have, or we can make the decision to do the least we possibly can. Our decisions matter. And how we follow God matters. And too many times, I don't know about you, I try to figure it out myself. I heard a story about a lady that was driving, trying to get to Denver, and the snow was terrible. It was horrible. It was snowing so hard she could hardly see. And then suddenly, she saw just to her right a snowplow, one of those big snowplows that was just moving all the snow, and she thought to herself, I know what I'll do. He's got to be headed to a main road somewhere. He's got to be going where I need to be headed. I know I'm going right, and so I can't see. I'll just get behind him, and I'll just follow him. So she just tucked right in behind him, and off she drove. And he continued to plow, and every time he'd make a right, she'd make a right. Every time he'd turn left, she would turn left. And this went on for several minutes till all of a sudden he just stopped. He just stopped the snowplow. Got out of the truck and came to the back and he said, ma'am, where are you headed? She said, I'm trying to get to Denver. He said, ma'am, well, you won't get there following me. I'm cleaning the parking lot off right now. I wonder who we're following. I sometimes feel like you just follow somebody that looks like maybe, just maybe they know what they're doing. And this week we'll have so many options, won't we, to follow. We'll have opportunities, excuse me, to learn and to grow by what we hear on TV or the radio or what other people who may not be connected to God are saying. Our decisions, they matter. And then he put it this way. Never, never, never be a stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block to anyone. Our decision today, even today as we're sitting here together and have sung the hymns of our faith and realized again that people need the Lord and realized that God's plan is that His church will be the message of sharing His Word and His salvation? Are we helping that process? Are we stepping stones for others? Or are we stumbling blocks? And I'm reminded that sometimes what looks like a stepping stone can be a stumbling block. I don't know if you've ever been out in the woods or down by a creek and decided that you needed to cross that creek, and maybe you did like I've done on occasion, and you began to look up the creek. Maybe it was too far to jump. And so you began to look, and then suddenly you saw what looked like what you needed. You saw those stones, you know, those rocks, that the creek was actually kind of working around those rocks. And there they were, and you began to calculate in your mind, and you said, yeah, I can make that step, and I can make that step, and I can get across right here. I can make those jumps to those stones. I've done that on many occasions and been successful. But I remember one time I made that same calculation. In fact, I think I'd crossed there once before, but something had happened. And on this day, there was this very thin film on the middle stone. And as I committed all that I had to that middle stone and planted my foot on what I thought was a solid stone, instead, the slippery slime betrayed me. Betrayed my foot. And when my foot slipped, guess what went behind it? All of me into the creek. I wonder if sometimes I don't allow the world to put a slippery slime on the solid rock of my faith. I become preoccupied. It's so easy to do. It's hard not to do. It's hard not to do. It's hard not to become preoccupied. But for a community to be one that grows, and we learn together to be more like Christ, to stand those temptations, to share that everyone who needs the Lord can be saved. Our decisions matter. Next, our duty. Our duty. It is our duty that obligates us. In verse 15 of our text, it says, "For if your brother is grieved by what you do or what you eat, then you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died." Just a tiny exegesis on this passage would tell us that sometimes folks would buy meat in the meat market that they knew had been offered to idols. And for some of the early believers to take that meat and eat it because it had been offered to an idol seemed like sin to them. To others who said, it has no power, it's just meat. Paul said, you know, it may not be a sin unless it causes someone else to stumble. I wonder today if God might help us run inventory in our life. Is there anything we do that someone might stumble by watching us do it, by being a part of it? Maybe even if it of itself it's not wrong, but it's causing a weaker brother or a weaker sister. Our duty. It is that duty. Hey, have you ever had a moment when you were going to say something that might be true? It might be right on target, but it wouldn't be helpful. It wouldn't be helpful. You ever said, I know when I say this, it's going to hurt that person. It's not going to help them. It's not going to edify. Build them up. But it's true. It's the truth. And I have the right to speak the truth. But the scriptures say what? Speak the truth in love. Speak the truth in love. Sometimes I can speak the truth and it won't be love. Our duty. Our duty is to always be about sharing God's love. We have an obligation to live and to love like Christ. I remember WWJD, and I bet some of you, y'all all remember WWJD? Everybody got your WWJD bracelet on now? See, that was just faddish, wasn't it? It came and went. Somebody figured it was a wonderful marketing tool. Somebody made lots of money. I heard one fellow who said he didn't know what it was about, and he came into a store, and he said, "What does WWJD stand for?" And the fellow said, "It stands for what would Jesus do?" And he said, "Well, I know Jesus wouldn't pay $25 for that hat with WWJD on it. I know he wouldn't do that." What would Jesus? I think that's what Paul is saying. If we're to be a community where folks can come and see the Lord and know the Lord and find the Lord, then we have got to constantly be asking that question. Not just when it's faddish, but all the time. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus have me do? Moms and dads, when you rise up, do you offer that prayer before you greet your children? Husbands and wives, do we offer that prayer before we speak to our spouse? The more we offer that prayer when we find ourselves in those stressful situations, I don't know about you, but usually when I realize the stress is rising up in me, too often in my own weakness, it's too late to pray then, because then my nature takes over. But boy, if I could do more praying before and say, "Today, Lord, help me see every stressful situation, not through my nature, but through what would Jesus do?" Then I begin to grow in my faith. And I begin to be a better witness for my Lord, an obligation to be that little Christ. Our community is watching and learning. Our children are watching and learning. Our friends are watching and learning. The question is, what are they learning? In 1863, when this nation was in the middle of a civil war, President Abraham Lincoln designated April 30th to be a day of national humiliation, fasting, and prayer. We know it now as a national day of prayer. We've dropped off that humiliation. That's not too American, is it? We don't want to be humiliated. But that's the original proclamation. A national day of humiliation, fasting, and prayer. Let me read a part of his proclamation that he wrote. We're talking about duty. And may this words of this former president from so many years ago speak to us. For I think the Lord spoke to him and gave it to him. Lincoln said, "It is the duty of nations as well as of men who owe their dependence upon the overruling power of God to confess their sins and transgressions in humble sorrow." I'm going to pause right here. Before we leave this worship today, I wonder if any of us, would be brave enough to confess our sin. Yet with assured hope that genuine repentance will lead to mercy and pardon, and to recognize the sublime truth announced in the Holy Scriptures and proven by history, that those nations only are blessed whose God is the Lord. The awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins, to the needful end of our national reformation as a whole people. Listen to Lincoln's last sentence. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us. We have grown in number, wealth, and power, as no other nation has grown, but we have forgotten God. Powerful words. We might be saying here, we would be rightly so, wouldn't it be great if that could be said today? But we know in this climate in which we live, we would never hear an elected official ever say such words as these. But what about us? What about us? Has our success gotten in our way? Has our self-sufficiency gotten in our way? Our duty to be a place where people can come and find God is to make sure we're following God. And finally this morning, our demonstration makes our community an example for the larger community. Again, here verses 17 through 19. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking. I might add, or driving cars, or living in houses, or taking vacations, or playing sports, or watching our favorite teams. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Let me ask us another question. How will we be remembered? I am grateful that each Thanksgiving, I guess it's becoming a tradition, Tommy. Tommy will come to our Thanksgiving service and he'll remind us of some folks in our church that have gone on to be with the Lord. How will they be remembered? How do we remember folks? I was pleased that at our wild game dinner, Miss Vivian, we had that bass that Buey caught. And to me, that was one of the highlights. It was in a very real way being able to remember Buey. You remember Buey? How will you be remembered? How will I be remembered? You see, we'll be remembered by what we demonstrate to others. Our demonstration. How we walk as community. I bet you remember this name, Joni Erickson Tyler. You remember that name? She had a terrible skiing accident. She became a paraplegic. She couldn't do anything. And yet learned to paint by putting a paintbrush in her mouth. And maneuvering and made, I mean, some amazing paintings. And because of her faith in her God, because of a dedicated family, she became quite a sensation. In an article she wrote for Decision called, I want you to listen to the title, Joy Hard Won. Joy Hard Won in the year 2000. Hear this excerpt from Joni. Honesty is always the best policy. But especially when you're surrounded by a crowd of women in a restroom during a break at a woman's conference, of which she was a speaker often. One woman, putting on lipstick, said, "Oh, Joni, you always look so together, so happy in your wheelchair. I wish I had your joy." Several women around nodded. How do you do it?" she asked as she capped her lipstick. Listen to what Joni said. "I don't do it. I said. In fact, may I tell you honestly how I woke up this morning? This is an average day. I breathe deeply. After my husband Ken leaves for work at 6 a.m., I'm alone until I hear the front door open at 7 a.m. That's when a friend arrives to get me up. While I listen to her make coffee, I pray, "Oh Lord, my friend will soon give me a bath, get me dressed, set me in my chair, brush my hair and my teeth, and send me out the door. I don't have the strength to face this routine one more time. I have no resources. I don't have a smile to take in to the day. But you do, God. May I have yours. I need you desperately." So, what happens when your friend comes through the bedroom door? One of them asks. I turn my head toward her and I give her a smile sent straight from heaven. It's not mine. It's God's. And so, I said, gesturing to my paralyzed legs, "Whatever joy you see in me today is hard won this morning. I have learned that the weaker we are, the more we need to lean on God. And the more we lean on God, the stronger we discover Him to be." Wow. 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 Moms and Dad, do you remember, do you realize how paralyzed we are as parents? Don't do it in your own strength. You're a paraplegic parent. Let God parent through you. And be amazed at what God will do. Young people, we're going to send you off this week to school. You're weak by yourselves. You don't have a word to give. But if you'll let God use you, you'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at what God will do. We demonstrate not how smart we are, not how much we know. We won't be remembered for what kind of car we drove or house we lived in. What I want to be remembered for, what I think we all want to be remembered for, and when I think of beauty, how much we depended on God, that's what I want to be remembered for. Thank you, Joni, for reminding me of the paralysis in my own life, and help me not to be a fool to think I can face it on my own. A community that loves and learns and grows together. Last week, a place where everybody knows our name. Today, a people who make decisions, recognize our duty, and demonstrate God's love. That's a place where we can learn. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the power of your salvation, for your grace that is greater than all our need. Lord, maybe someone today needs to confess a sin. Maybe someone today needs to rededicate their life. Maybe someone today needs to follow you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins and to have their name recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life forever. You know every heart. You know every need. Now, help us to make the right decision, to do our duty, to demonstrate your love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn and hymn of decision is page 600, More About Jesus. And may we sing that confessionally. And may we pray to God as we sing the hymn, Lord, would you make me to be able to be more about you? And whatever decisions we need to make, public or private, may we do so as we stand together. Again, it has been a good week. We had, I think, almost 85, 84 or so at the Wednesday night supper. And if you'd like to be with us this Wednesday night for spaghetti, and I understand there'll be no deer meat in the spaghetti at all. It'll be like hamburger if you like that kind of spaghetti. Please remember to sign up. We do try to fix that very closely to how many sign up, so we would appreciate your help in that. And I just want to say a very special word of thanks to everyone who worked in so many different ways to make the sharing with our community last night the powerful moment that it was. It was a blessing, and I appreciate it. There was a ton of work, and thank everyone who helped with that. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people, his community, in the midst of his people, his community. Would you pray? God, go with us from this place. Use us with the choices and decisions that we have made. Help us to do our duty to demonstrate you to all who will cross our path. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.